Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It's Friday and it's Stories of Hope. Now more than ever, we need the tools on how to navigate these uncharted waters that we're in. My first guest today, he's an entrepreneur, among many other things, and he helps entrepreneurs and professionals go from frenzied to focused so that they no longer have to cash in their health, relationships, and fulfillment to pay their bills for success. I can't think of a greater time right now than to be an entrepreneur and to live life and build a life according to your own values, what's important to you, your passions. Jeffrey Davis is committed to helping people transmute the experience from burnout to brilliance and from hustle culture to high performance. He helps them to tap into their inner power, wisdom, and purpose to exponentially increase results, health, fulfillment, and to have better relationships. Welcome to the show today, Jeffrey Davis.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
So before we got started today, we were talking about what you really wanted to bring home, what you really wanted to highlight. You know, nowadays people, we're exposed to so much information, and really people's attention span, as we know, is really short. So you were talking to me about a three-step process on communication. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. As you know, as an entrepreneur or a business person, personal problems become business problems. And our personal limits hold us back from success. And if we can't manage our relationships, they will manage us. And so this is a way to create more peace, more connection, more opportunity in your world, and also for you, yourself. Because I mean, we're all here to connect. We're all here to have fun, to experience joy, and that involves other people, both clients and significant others.
Yeah, because, you know, we, when it comes down to, you know, being a business person myself, being an entrepreneur leader myself, you know, our business, we are our business.
Right.
We are our business. So, you know, what we do in our, with our personal habits, with our daily interactions, how we approach our clients, how we approach the meeting, how we approach everything, is really how we approach life and, you know, our business and our relationships, like you said. So I think it's really important that we're having this discussion right now, because there is definitely a lot of division, separation, and pushback, negativity being projected out onto each other, onto, you know, the relationship. So what is your process that you want to enlighten us with, that you want to share with us, that you help people with as far as communication?
Yeah. So just to start with this, somebody said something that I think is brilliant. In a relationship, you have a choice of either being right or in relationship. So if you dig in and it's all about being right, then you will end up not being in relationship with somebody. So that's not about connection. That's about proving your point. So the three steps, I call them the three C's. The first one is you check into yourself. So you take a breath, you check and see if there's some tension, and you come to the moment where you're present with them. So with that breath, you're here, you're in your body, you're not in your mind, you're not thinking of what's next, and you're connected with them. The second one is being curious about what they're asking. Now, when you're curious, you can't be both curious and in judgment at the same time. So you're leaning into what they're saying and asking them questions. Because many times what happens is somebody may say something or do something and we have a reaction. And that, but when we understand why they did it, we have a different response, not a reaction. So it's important to be curious about, well, why did you say that? You know, can you tell me more about that? You know, is there something that you're trying to tell me when you say that? The third thing is having compassion. So with that, that creates a bridge between one person and the other. That's a connective device. Checking in, asking questions from a curious place, a non-judgmental place, and having compassion for where they come from. Maybe they're snappy because they are under pressure, and you've discovered that, and you have compassion for that because of the pressure you can relate to. Right. And then all of a sudden you're both in the same place and you're connected. You understand what they're talking about and you can relate to them. And then you can have a conversation from a place of peace, an actual conversation, not pushback and one person standing for one side, one person standing for the other, because nothing happens that way. Nothing happens in business that way. Nothing happens in a personal relationship in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just imagining right now, you know, being in relationship with you, how fun that would be. Because of your approach. And right away, it offers a level of openness. It offers a level of safety. It offers, you know, because being in relationship is how we experience ourselves and, you know, each other and the world that we want to create. So what you're sharing here is really, you know, how we really want to be treating each other. Because that's where it starts. It starts at home. And if it's not happening at home, in your inner circle, in your business, then how do you expect it to happen on the world stage?
Exactly. You know, I saw an interesting, I am eternally curious. I'm always learning and listening and reading and, you know, asking questions of myself. And I saw this interesting interview. I don't know if you know, I think it was Rich Roll or somebody who does tons and tons of interviews. And he was talking in an interview where he was being interviewed and he was saying, you know, what's interesting is my wife told me I'm not a good listener. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like my job is to listen. I do that. I'm professionally listening. And he sat down, he's like, well, I'll go figure this out because that's what I do. And he sat down with a therapist. And he discovered he actually was a great listener. And then he went home and he was a poor listener.
Oh.
So he was not using the skills that he had, you know, throughout his life. He was turning them on at the office and he was just forgetting all of that and leaving at the door when he walked into the home.
Wow. So, that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah, and that's so honest of him to you know, to see that and admit that openly and then, you know, correct it, right? Because I'm sure that he made those corrections. But everything starts at home. It starts about, you know, it sounds like, you know, you have a really good relationship with yourself because that's really where it starts.
Exactly. You can't even... The first stage of emotional intelligence is self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. You need to understand who you are, how you're built, what your emotional state is so that you can relate to somebody else's emotional state. And also so you can stay with somebody else when they're in an emotional state because you understand how to navigate your own emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're coming from a different place, you know, like so many of us, when we're coming from our ego, we want to, again, make the other person wrong and we're right, when we're actually coming from a place of compassion or, like you said, curiosity, that is an opportunity for a different paradigm to open up, for a new experience to, you know, evolve between the relationships. Now, you work with many entrepreneurs around the world. So, you know, where can people find you if they are curious to, you know, possibly work with you? Like, what are you doing? Are you online? Are you on YouTube? What's going on? What do you do? Where do you do your work?
Yeah, so I'm on all the socials. I'm on Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook. And on all of those, you can find me as Jeffrey Davis Coach, and it's J-E-F-F-E-R-Y. It's the least common spelling of it. Most people spell it J-E-F-F-R-E-Y. So it's E-R-Y, Davis Coach. Or somebody could simply email me at jeffrey@inspiring-breakthroughs.com.
Yeah. And so what do you love about the work that you're doing as an entrepreneur?
You know, I love, well, that's a great question. So I love the work because I know why I'm here on this planet. I'm here to leave a legacy of love. That means more peace, more connection. That means more love for myself. That actually creates a better world for me to live in, to be honest with you. So on some level, it's for me, and on some level, it's for everybody else. And I see the transformation. I see how this work impacts the people that I work with and the people around them. And it's just such a gift to me to be able to offer my gift. So I'm offering and receiving at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's so brilliant. And I also like, you know, how you know that it is a legacy that you're leaving behind, and that what you're building and what you're creating, and how you are creating the world we want to live in through your own experience, and then your interactions, the relationships that you have. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and for doing this work out in the world. You know, we need more people like you that are out there, you know, creating their legacies and leaving a footprint that we can all be proud of for our children and our children's children.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I love what you're doing, and it's well needed. Yeah. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You actually gave me an idea, you know, when you were talking about the interviewer that was interviewed. I thought about it and I thought, you know, because I've been interviewing people for, you know, a long time. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe I want to have people interview me. So that's something that was seeded today. Thank you so much, Jeffrey Davis, for coming on the show. And we're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. We have our next guest, Casey Kinghead. She is a 3 times survivor of acute lymphoblastic leukemia. She's the author of Finding Your Way Back to Heart Center, Cancer Treatment Ended, Now What? And she's also a personal trainer, a yoga instructor, and she is a oncology certified cancer exercise specialist, level 1 nutritionist, restorative yoga trauma trained, and lifelong learner. She is a dog mom to Lily. Welcome to the show today, Casey.
Oh, thank you for having me, Cornelia. I appreciate it.
So, well, first of all, let's just say we're so grateful that you're here and that you survived cancer.
I am as well.
Wow, that's huge. So do you want to take us a little bit into what happened to you?
Yes, absolutely. So I will give the brief summary. On February 14th, 2014, I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia at 31. It's a rare children's disease, and I just happened to get it as a young adult, which is even rarer. So I started treatment immediately. They hospitalize you for 28 days for the treatment because it's so aggressive that they need to watch you. So I got out of the hospital after 28 days, and 4 months into treatment, I had a stroke and seizures from the chemotherapy itself. I was temporarily paralyzed on my left side. So amongst getting treatment for cancer, I was learning how to walk, talk, use my entire left side, and still getting chemotherapy. So as you can imagine, that was a journey that was unexpected in and of itself. Fast forward to the end of my 18-month protocol for chemotherapy. They were like, okay, we're done. 7 weeks later, I relapsed the first time. And so at this point, they said, your body is not responding to chemotherapy. Would you like to try this immunotherapy or go on a clinical trial? And I said, well, does one negate the other? And we kind of debated back and forth. And so we decided to do the immunotherapy, sent me into a kind of cytokine release storm. It's when your body starts to attack itself and basically shuts down. Somehow made it out of that. Started all the clinical trials for this CAR T cell at the time. And 1 week before I started, was supposed to start, it got shut down. So literally there was another CAR T cell clinical trial going on another hospital, but it was full and they weren't accepting new patients. And clinical trials, there's no line skipping. There's no, this is our only hope situation going on. Then you literally just wait. So I was sent home from the hospital after 68 days, I believe, with basically them keeping me alive with blood and platelets and telling me I should settle my affairs. We ended up writing a letter of compassion to the FDA and to one of the drug manufacturers for an immunotherapy that was not even for my cancer, as basically like a Hail Mary of, do you want to see if this works? Because we need to get you into remission to get you into a stem cell transplant. So after four rounds of that, I was obviously approved. Four rounds of that, I got into remission and they were like, let's go, stem cell. So my brother's my donor. I have his stem cells inside of me. And I got sent home again from the hospital and we waited. We just, you know, there's mile markers and when you get a transplant. And 6 months into that though, I relapsed again. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, what do we do now? Do we do stem cell transplant again? Or are we doing the immunotherapy? Like what's the plan? And it was completely unexpected. And they basically said, we're going to try the immunotherapy. It worked really well last time. Let's see if it does the same thing. And then we can do another round of stem cells if we need. So four more rounds, reach remission again. And basically my medical team just said, we're going to wait and we're going to see. I was like, I don't like this plan. Not a great plan. And thankfully, since that time, and this is now fast forward almost 2 years later, or 2.5, 3 years later, they were like, okay, I think you're okay. We, for the longest time, for about, I would say, solid 6 months to a year, we were still like, fingers crossed, this worked. So that's the short story.
Oh my God. I just can't imagine. You've had to fight for your life for all these years, like literally facing death at every turn, constantly like being presented with it and the up and down and the whole thing. And that I just can't even imagine what you've gone through. I'm just like, oh my God, so sorry for you.
Oh, I hope no one does, but you know, the human spirit is a resilient and hopeful being. And I think that's something that I always held on to very closely was, as long as there's something for me to try, it'll all work itself out. And I didn't really have any logical reasoning for that, other than it was just like a feeling that I was like, this isn't it. Like, I just need to be alive long enough for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And I, by some miracle, my body was like, okay, we're doing this.
Wow. Wow. So now, you've been cancer free, you're in remission, you're good. Everything is good. And now you've turned everything that you've gone through, your experience, and now you're supporting others that have, you know, that are dealing with cancer or life-threatening illness. So, you know, how do you do that? Like, do you have do you do coaching? How is that played out?
Yeah. So I'm a cancer coach and I help women rebuild physically, mentally, and emotionally from this journey. You know, the one thing that I thought there would be just as much support after the journey ends, like physically, and there wasn't, and that's where I struggled. So that's my passion, is really, truly helping cancer survivors rebuild their lives.
Yeah, because you didn't have the support, because basically once you're done with that, it's like, that's it, you're done and you're out of there. And now it's like, what do you do now?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, what do you do now? And I mean, it sounds like you had a really good support system, you know, your brother, and I don't know about your family, but you had people around you that definitely were supporting you. Where can people look you up on social media and find out more about? Do you have like a Facebook page that talks about, you know, supporters of cancer patients or?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. It's at The Happier Hustle. It's on Facebook at The Happier Hustle. I have a website, thehappierhustle.com, all of which you can find me. And if you just need to hear a story of hope, it's there, and it's for the full scope of the story is there to read.
Yeah. I mean, you have so much that you've endured and gone through that you definitely are an inspiration for many people, because when people want to give up, when they want to give up and they want to let go, or they, you know, they don't have the hope, like you said, you know, having that desire to live, that will to live, that fight to live is important, right? And having support around you is important too.
Oh, I had the greatest support system around me. And hope is a powerful drug, though. It is. It truly is. And you take it one day at a time, and your family supports you in the best way they can, but they don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, because they haven't experienced it. They don't know. You are the one that knows. Basically, you've been in a near-death experience for a long time. That's you know. What it is. Well, Casey, it was so wonderful to have you on the show. I definitely want to talk to you again in the future. Let's have you on for another podcast in the future, and then maybe do a little bit longer show during that time. So I want to thank you. Tell the audience again where they can find you.
At thehappierhustle.com.
Okay. Thanks everybody for listening and tuning in on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Stay tuned for Rosie Perez coming up next. And we'll see you again next Friday. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.